If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And I just want to read a few verses there. I just want to talk to you today about why have God in your life? Why have God in your life? Psalm 103, 1 to 5. Whatever version you happen to have is good. I kind of like the King James Version on these ones here, but since we usually use the New Living Translation, we'll use that one. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagle." So God, would you speak your blessing now upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'd just like to share with you about why have God in your life? Why God? Why open your life to God? Is there a benefit? Does it make sense? Does it make a difference in our lives? Is God really real? Should we be seeking Him? And so whether this is your first time in church or whether you've been a Christian all of your life, we need to value having God in our life. We live in a society today where people are wondering if one should even bother with God, as God is often thought of someone who is distant, who is not relevant for today, or who is far removed from our lives. And a lot of people think He makes no difference at all in one's life. And as we look to our nation of Canada, we see that in Canada we are becoming less and less Christian. And our godly morals are being abandoned and being considered as old-fashioned. And as we look at Christianity in Canada, we see that it is not growing in Canada. And we are in danger of becoming a non-Christian nation. And so we have much work to do to reach our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to show and demonstrate that a relationship with God does make a difference in one's life. It's certainly the goal of this church that we would demonstrate and that we would teach people that God truly makes a difference in one's life. And that is to our benefit to open up our hearts to God. So whether you're here in this church for the first time or if you've been here for many years, we want you to realize that having God in our lives is important to us. It's something that's very beneficial for us all. And sometimes we need to be reminded that, yeah, God is beneficial and He is good to have in our lives. And I want to be very clear today that it is good for us to have God in our lives. As I look back on our own lives, for Judy and I, we have experienced God in our lives pretty much almost from the beginning, from birth. And we've never regretted our choice to believe and serve the Lord all the days of our lives. I have no desire to go back and do things that I had laid down or given up to serve God when I was young in order to be an example to others. I don't have any regrets in that sense. The only regret I would have is that I wish I had did even more for God. And both Judy and I, we can testify that God has made a difference in our lives. It has been worth it to serve the Lord. We are glad of our choice to follow God. And we don't have any plans of giving up in that endeavor. We are happy to have God in our lives. And to be truthful, when I look at people in our world today, I wonder, how can you make it? How can you survive without God? Because, you know, sometimes life is tough. Life is hard sometimes. And I wonder, so how does everyone else survive in life? I'm so thankful for my relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and maybe you're wondering, well, does God really, can He make a difference in my life? I want to tell you that that answer is yes, 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 yes. God can make a difference in your life. And this morning, we don't want to spend a long time here, but I just want to take a few verses out of this wonderful passage of Scripture, and it really is a wonderful passage of Scripture, one of my favorite Bible verses or Bible chapters. I preached upon it many times, and I just felt to speak on this again this morning and just to encourage you and to remind yourself that, yes, God makes a difference. Just as this psalmist is declaring all these good things that God does, we need to be reminded that God does do many good things in our lives as well. And He does make a difference in our lives. And so first of all, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we should realize that we should have God in our lives because God is good. He's a good God. And you know, that's something worth considering and being thankful for every day of our lives. God is good. If you want to consider about having God in your life, then you need to realize something. God's good. Why wouldn't you want to have Him in your life when He's a good God? Psalm 103:2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. Not only is God good, He does good things for us. Dictionary, we say that God is morally excellent. He's righteous. He's genuine. He's kind. He's beneficial. He's friendly towards us. God is not a mean God. He's not an uncaring God. He's not an evil God. He's a good God. A God who does good things for His people. A God that has good plans for His people. Just as we had Judah here this morning, God has good plans for Judah. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So if you're wondering, well, should I have God in my life or why God in my life? God has good things for you. Why wouldn't you want that which is good? God is not the one who does evil. God is not the one that brings bad things to you. God is not the one that brings disasters to you. He has been represented badly throughout the ages by people calling themselves Christians, and yet people who have done terrible things in the name of God. But that wasn't Him. He's a good God. He has good plans for you. He has a future for you, and He wants to give you hope. You know, so often we blame God when bad things happen to us. And friends, that's not what God has planned for us. The God of this world, yes, He has those things planned for us because He desires to rob, kill, and destroy. But that's the God of this world, the devil, the enemy of your soul. That's not God that does that. In reality, friends, as we look at this, sometimes bad things happen to us because of our own bad behavior. Sometimes bad things happen to us, even in church life, where Christians behave badly. And other times it's just a direct attack of the enemy, where the enemy of our soul attacks us. And we need to realize that God's signature is that which is good. The enemy's signature is that which is bad. And so we need to realize that. And so if you're going to get mad, don't get mad at God. Get mad at the enemy. He's the one that's trying to kill and rob and destroy you. He's the one that's trying to bring these things against you. God is not the author of bad. God is the author of good. So why would you want God in your life? God is good. And God is working on your behalf to turn things around for your good. So what the enemy has planned for you, what the enemy has been coming against you, you need to realize that God is famous for turning around things to good. God is famous for turning your trials into testimonies. Romans 8:28, another beautiful verse, beautiful promise. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. See, God is constantly working to turn things around in our lives to make something beautiful out of them. Maybe you're here today and your life is a mess. Your life is terrible. You don't have any hope. Well, God is famous for turning our lives around and turning them into something good. So God desires good for you. God desires good for our lives. And as we look over our lives and we've seen in our past where God has been good to us, we need to realize that we need to give Him the praise for that. Because good is a signature of God. He is the author of good. James 1:17, another beautiful verse that says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So God is the author of good. And if you've been experiencing good in your life, that's His signature. He's trying to get our attention during those times to say, I'm a good God. I want you to come to me. I want you to look to me, and I will receive you. And you don't have to worry about, I'm not going to be treating you badly. I'm not going to be condemning you and saying how terrible you are. I am a good God. So why have God in your life? God is good. And God desires to give you good things in your life. And to me, that's enough of a reason right there. Why would I want to serve God? Why would I want to have Him in my life? God is good. To me, that's reason enough. But there's more here. The second reason why we should have God in our lives is that God forgives. What does that mean? God pardons. God chooses to cease resentment against us. God chooses to cancel our debt of sin against us. God forgives us of all of our bad behavior and of all of our sins. And when He says all, God means all. Sometimes we kind of take sins and we categorize sin. And we think sometimes, well, you know, I think God will forgive me for this, but I don't think He'll forgive me for this one. And no, the Bible says, I will forgive you of all sins. God forgives all sins. Psalm 103:3. He forgives all my sins. I love that little passage of Scripture. For we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standards. All of us at one time or another, we've all sinned. We're all guilty. But as we come to God and ask Him to forgive us, He does. He forgives us. He removes our sins from us. He forgives us for what we have done. He doesn't hold our sins against us, but rather forgives them as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed those transgressions from us. Psalm 103, 10 and 12. He doesn't punish us for all of our sins. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. He has removed our sins as far as from the east is from the west. So God doesn't treat us as we really deserve to be treated. He treats us far better. And He forgives our rebellion. He forgives our sin. And He's merciful towards us. And He desires to forgive us, even though we're doing things that are bad. Why would I want God in my life? God's telling me, I want you to come because I want to forgive you. So that's a wonderful thing. So we shouldn't keep carrying our sin. Why should we want to be reminded of the bad that we have done in our lives? Why do we want to be reminded of the mistakes that we've made in our lives? Do we not want to be free from condemnation? Do we not want to be free from sin and experience the forgiveness of God? And friends, God's the only one who can do that. Only God can forgive sins. And as we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of all our sins. That's 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins to Him. He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you and He'll cleanse you from all wickedness. I like that. God says all. And He means all. Again, so often we kind of think that, well, no, there's something I did that was really, really bad, Pastor. You don't understand. It was really a terrible thing that I did. And God knew that I knew better and I still disobeyed and I still did this terrible thing. God says, I'll forgive you of all your wickedness. So when I think of, why would I want God in my life? Well, I don't want to carry my sins around. I don't want to carry around that condemnation and guilt. God says, I'll take that from you and I'll forgive you. That's a wonderful thing. Number three, why would you want God in your life? God heals. God makes us healthy, whole, sound, restores our health. And that's a good reason that we should want God in our lives, because He heals. Psalm 103:3. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. So God is able to restore every area of our life, from the sin that has scarred us to restoring our health and making us whole again. Now I realize that many people do not believe in healing today, and they doubt that God can heal. Even as Christians, many of us as Christians, we doubt whether God can heal. But just because you don't believe it, or just because you didn't experience it, doesn't mean that God can't do it. The Word of God says, God heals. That's enough for me. God said it, I believe it, and that's enough for me. But I've also had the privilege of seeing many people healed. Many people experience that touch from God. I know that God heals, not just from His Word, but also from experiencing, seeing it happen in people's lives and in my own life as well. Now, there is a lot of things when it comes to healing that we don't understand. We sometimes wonder, well, how come that guy got healed and that person didn't? Why didn't it happen all the time? And we really don't know why. But that's not going to stop me from seeking that outpouring of healing in our midst to see that people get healed. Sometimes people don't get healed just because we harden our hearts. Sometimes, even as Christians, we get a hardness inside there because maybe we were praying for a healing for ourselves and that didn't happen, or a healing for someone close to us and it didn't happen. And so we kind of get upset with God. But that sometimes can cause us to not receive healing. Matthew 13, 15. Jesus said, "For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. For they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." You don't want to get to that place where you harden your heart and say, "I don't believe in that healing stuff at all, and so, sorry, it's not going to happen." I thought we were going to have a testimony this morning about a healing, but they're not able to be here today, so it is coming that they'll be able to share that. But God wants to heal us. But in order for that to happen, we have to turn to Him. We have to look to Him. We might have to come to Him to receive that healing. And that's something that's very important for us to do. It's one of the reasons why I like to encourage worship in our church. Maybe you're not used to that. If you come from another church that, you know, maybe you have the cut and dry, it's just a couple songs, boom, 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 dunch, over. And I encourage our worship teams. I said, look, if you feel something as you're worshiping, continue on. Continue on, because I'm looking for something. I'm looking for an atmosphere. An atmosphere that we can create where God wants to move and God wants to touch people. And often I've found, even in this church here, there have been so many testimonies that have come from people say, "Pastor, during the worship time, God spoke to me. Pastor, during the worship time, God touched me in my body. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody touched me, but God did." And personally, that's one of my goals that I would like to see in this church. I want to see healing in this church. I want to see us using the gifts of healing. But just to be honest with you, I'm not looking for that in the church. I'm looking for that when we go outside the church. But inside the church, my goal, my desire is to see that God just does it. That there's no fancy preacher. I'm not looking to be a famous evangelist, a healing evangelist. I want to make Jesus famous. That as people would come in this place, they start getting touched by God, ministered by God, they say, "Nobody touched me. Nobody's claiming that they did it. God did it." That's what we want to see happen. And with all the diseases and all the sickness that is around us today, I think we need to see healing more than ever before. As we look to our younger generation and want to reach our younger generation, one of the things our younger generation is saying is that we don't see what you adults see. We don't see, where are those miracles that you talked about? Where are those healings that you talked about? How come we're not seeing them? And I think that we need to be a church that demonstrates the power of Almighty God. And so that's something that's really important to us. So friends, there is hope in regards to our sickness. There is hope in regards to our diseases and illnesses. Why have God in your life? God heals. Why bother coming to a church? Well, it's a place where God heals. So if you're needing of a healing, then we need to look to God. We need to look to the church and look at the people there, that they would come and join with us and pray for us. James 5, 14 to 15. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sins, you will be forgiven.
kind of like a big package deal. God just invites you to come. He said, I'll take care of it all. I'll take care of your sin. I'll take care of your sickness. I'll take care of your diseases. But you need to come to Him. He's the God who heals. So why look to God? Why would you want to open up yourself to believe in God? God heals. God heals. And if you're here today and maybe you're in need of a miracle in your body, we'd be very happy to pray with you after this service or at the end of this message and to anoint you with oil. It's not a big deal. We anoint you with oil. We agree with you. And we ask God to touch you and to heal you. We give that opportunity at the end of our service for anyone who would like to come forward that we will pray for them. If you're kind of the shyer type person and say, well, I ain't walking up there. Are you crazy? Why not just mention to somebody you're sitting by and say, you know what? I wouldn't mind if somebody would come and pray for me. Maybe that person beside you would pray for you. And if not, they'll quickly go get somebody else to come and they'll pray for you right where you are. We would love to do that. Fourthly, why would one want to have God in their life? God loves you. God loves you. He really does. He has a great affection towards you. Psalm 103:4, He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. God cares about us. He has a passionate affection towards us. Now see, sometimes we believe the lies of the enemy that God couldn't love me. I hear that all the time as a pastor. Oh, pastor, you don't know what I have done in my life. And to be perfectly honest with you, when some people share, I'm quite shocked sometimes. I can't believe some of the things that people get involved in. But it's not a shock to God at all. God said, I love you. Come to me. Come to me. I want to love on you. Love is a good thing. And God wants to do that. He wants to love on us. The Bible clearly says that God is a God of love. And He cares about us so very much. Even in that Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. In other words, He never stops loving you. He won't stop. And then verse 11, for His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. That's a big distance. So great is the love of God. If you're older like me, you'd probably remember a little Sunday school course. Remember, so high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. But that's really is true. It's a scriptural principle. That's how big God's love is. It's immeasurable. It's so big that God loves you. God's love for us is great. It never fails. And it is so great that even the heavens cannot contain it. That's how much God loves us. Maybe you're here today and you need to feel that kind of love. True love. A love that is pure. A love that is real. But I want to tell you, you're in the right place. Because God is love. It's His very nature to love you. That's why He redeemed us. That's why He saved us. That's why He made a way back to God by coming into this world and dying on a cross for us, paying for our sins. He loves us. He loves us. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. I find it so interesting in Scripture, it's not us crying out to God saying, oh God, we want to be with You forever. It's God crying out to us saying, I want You to be with me forever. He took the first steps and He continues to keep taking the first step. That's why He draws us. That's why He speaks to us. That's why you're not in church by accident today. God draws. He makes those things possible that we can come and that we can hear and we can understand. He loves us. He loves us. Why would you want God in your life? God loves you. He loves you with a passion that is immeasurable and that will never stop. Nothing, the Bible says, can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing something between your ears that's saying, oh, yes, but there's this. Oh, yes, but I don't know about this. No, you need to listen and say, no, there's nothing. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. God will always love you. Just another reason why to have God in your life. Then lastly, we could go on throughout this passage. But it says that why we should have God in our life, because God renews our life. He satisfies the longings of our hearts. He fills us with new hope, new dreams, and new reasons to live. He gives meaning to our lives and brings renewal in our lives. Psalm 103:5, He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. So God renews our lives. He restores, He replenishes, He revives us, He makes new again. He grants us strength and hope to soar high like eagles again above our circumstances and our difficulties. That's what God does in our lives. He puts hope back in our lives. He puts purpose back in our lives. He gives us new dream. He gives us strength to try again and to succeed. And even when we're weak and we think that we've gone beyond any help, God intervenes and God restores our lives and renews us with fresh strength and hope. I love Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. The whole chapter is quite exciting, but I love this last part. It says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's our God. That's our God. That's what God can do for us. And so if you're here this morning and you're weary and you're broken and you're basically saying, I'm worn out, Pastor. I'm at the end of my rope. I can't do anything else. Then you're in the right place because God is in the house. And God is able to renew you and restore you and touch you this morning and bring a refreshing back into your life and even to the place where you can feel the strength as if you were young again. God can restore the years where the enemy has stolen from you. God can restore your life from destruction and that what you have gone through. And He can bring back a newness in your life. If you're looking for a good reason, why God? Why God in my life? He renews. He restores us with strength that we can soar again. So as we close this morning, there's a whole lot more that we could say. I encourage you to read that passage of Scripture, Psalm 103. Powerful portion of Scripture. It kind of is a great reminder of why we should serve God and why we should be glad that we still are serving God. Because God is good. God forgives. God heals, God loves, God renews, and a whole lot more. So friends, why do we hesitate? Why do we doubt? Why do we keep making God that He keeps drawing and drawing and pulling at us and pulling at us, and we keep rejecting Him and we keep holding back and maybe we'll give a little bit, not all? God wants to bless you today. God wants to touch you today. God wants to make Himself real in your life today. And if you're new here and you're kind of wondering, well, how do I meet God? I have no idea, Pastor. No idea. Well, the Bible just simply says that all we need to do is call unto Him. Just to obey that prompting that is on the inside of us. That you're just kind of saying, I need to respond to this. There's something inside of me that's telling me that this is what I need to do. Well, that's all you need to do. Just obey that prompting. And come to that place where you profess and you believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is the truth, the life, the way. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. That's what He wants to give us. We just need to come to Him. Just come to Him. Believe in Him. That's where having God in your life begins. It starts with Jesus Christ. So Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ is that way to the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ is that way for you to meet with God, to encounter God in your life. Otherwise, it's just a generic name, God. God. Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? God. Well, there's many religions in the world today. But there's only one that saves. There's only one that will deliver you. There's only one that can forgive you. And that's through Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you would like to have a relationship, you'd like to encounter God in your life, we'd be very happy to pray with you. As we come to our close of our services, what we usually do in this church, every church can be different. What we do in this church is that we give an opportunity for anyone that is wanting prayer, that they can come and receive that prayer. You don't have to be a member of the congregation. You don't have to be a person that has been attending to this church. If you're here today, you qualify, and you're welcome to receive prayer. I'm going to call in our prayer team. They're going to play some music there for you, and that prayer team is going to come up, and they're just going to be across the front. And if you want prayer, please feel free to come. But maybe if you're more of the shy type, or maybe you're brand new and say, well, not a chance I'm doing that, then I encourage you, why don't you just talk to that person beside you or in back of you, in front of you, and just say, you know, I wouldn't mind prayer today, but I'm not going up there, not a chance. Or just maybe nudge them, say, could someone pray for me? Maybe that person might pray for her. If not, they'll come and get me, or they'll come and get somebody else that will come and gladly pray with you. We don't want you to leave this place without that opportunity being given to you. And so we just want you to realize that that's available if you want it. If you don't want it, that's fine too. We also have coffee that's out there. If you want to have a coffee and just get to meet some people, if you want to meet me, just stick around or talk to one of the ushers and say, hey, I'd really like to meet that pastor, and then come and get me and I can get back there, because usually I'm up here a little bit praying, but very happy to do that as well. I'm glad that you're here today. I think you should be glad as well. Why God? Why choose God in your life? He does a whole lot. He really does. He really does. And He wants to touch each and every one of us. Isn't that a good thing? Father, I just thank You this morning that You are a good God. I thank You that, Lord, that You desire to do so many good things for me, that You will forgive me, You'll love me, Your presence will abide with me. Lord, You just will do so many things. I thank You that You are a God that renews and restores. And we speak that over people here today, Lord, that have been going through some trials and hardships. And Lord, maybe in that place they're so discouraged that they really had it with life. But You are the God that grants life. You are the God that grants new meaning in life. And we pray that, God, in this place here today. Lord, as we go our separate ways this morning, we just pray Your blessing, Lord, to be upon all of Your people. I pray that, Lord, they would encounter You and they'll experience more of You. And I thank You, God, that You're drawing and speaking to all of us, because You want relationship with us. You want fellowship with us. Thank You, God, for all that You do. We bless You today. We thank You today. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find that Cynthia's going to be out back there. She'll be handing out some of the your tax receipts for the year. That's a good thing. And so it's in an envelope. We don't post it on the wall. When I grew up in church, they used to do that in United Church. They used to put everybody's giving on the wall. They used to say how much you gave. And I remember we used to do a prayer time with the community. And the Presbyterian Church at that time, they did the same thing. And you go in there and you always see so-and-so. They gave, you know, $4,000. And this guy over here gave $2,000, and then they had this guy, $5. And so we don't embarrass you by that. It's in a nice envelope. And we do say thank you, because this is a generous church. So bless you. Have a great day. May God bless you today and all this week. If you want prayer, I just call our prayer team up, and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, you are dismissed. God bless you.